Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears on WWGH 107.1 FM. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears coming at you here on a getaway Friday, August the 4th, 2023. First Friday in the month of August, 16 coming up on 17 minutes past the hour. Joined in studio by Matt Morgan and Sean Kraft. Don't forget Pastor Craig's show coming up next hour. And then we're all going to get together and just duke it out at 12 p.m. today. Matt, Sean, Pastor Craig, and myself on the Exchange Club. And then tonight we've got an epic show tonight. The biggest panel in Friday Night Show history in the 3+ years we've been doing the Friday Night Show. It will be Matt, Sean, myself, and two others. So it's going to be a five-person panel tonight for 2 hours. You cannot miss that. It's epic, Matt. I can tell that you're filled with adrenaline and curiosity.
Yeah, of course. The Friday Night Show with five people. It's amazing with four people. With five people...
Oh, it's going to be off the hook tonight.
Exactly. And the fifth person being Pastor Craig, like, especially, I enjoy being on with Pastor Craig.
And we've got a woman tonight.
We do.
We went out and found a woman. Now, Carrington will be returning next week. I saw her yesterday, and she'll be returning next week. All right, Sean... You excited for tonight?
I sure am.
It's going to be a humdinger. We had a humdinger last week, so we might have a humdinger. Yeah. We're going to have so many people in here tonight that we're going to have to go around the table. And I'm not saying the past hosts of this show have been duds. I'm not saying that at all, but they just didn't have high energy. Friday night's a party, and it's hard to explain that to people, but it really is. I mean, am I wrong about this?
No. Friday night is just a whole bunch of... It's basically just us talking and then laughing. Like, literally, that's about it.
I mean, everybody laughs on Friday, and it's not like coming to do something you don't want to do. With some of those other people, I mean, it was like, dragging the anchor of a ship around. But, you know, it was what you had to do to be on the air. But on Friday nights now, it's party time. So we're looking forward to that tonight. We have top 10 lists we've got to get to. We've got Jeff Dunham tickets we've got to give away to the Ohio State Fair, as well as tickets to, who else is performing this? Lindsey Stirling. We've also got tickets to the Dublin Irish Festival. So we've got a lot going on here, but before we do any of that, we're going to get to that momentarily. Matt, you listened to Pastor Whitaker this morning. What'd you make?
I really enjoyed the Pastor Whitaker show this morning. It was interesting.
Now, what did you learn anything from that show?
I learned that a lot of things, I think, are based on mindset as opposed to, like, actually, like, I don't know, luck, if you want to call it that. But, like, the more work you put into something, the more likely it is to happen. And if you believe the opposite, like, if you consistently tell yourself the opposite of what you want, the opposite is probably what's going to happen.
She's the one.
She's the one.
She's the one. You might as well give up. You might as well peck it in once she's the one. What do you think, Sean?
You know, I didn't get to listen. I was busy with business meetings, but I heard a little bit of tailwind when I came in. It's about a woman, but that's all.
Well, I think basically, if you had to explain that show to Sean, what would you say?
Man, I don't know. You guys hit a lot of things.
We covered the waterfront in 45 minutes.
They covered... they covered, like, marriage, that kind of thing.
Money.
Yeah, they
fear.
They covered money and how money brings fear and how fear isn't, like, what you should be primarily focused on. You should be focused on love and giving back. It was just a good show.
When you make a decision based on fear, you're making the wrong decision. And also the fact that once you're married a couple times... They do call that serial marrying. That's a term. And I think at some point, you've got to stop saying, this is the one, this is the one. Because people are going to start looking at you strange after that and saying, now, wait a second, how many ones have you had? That's another one of those things.
Yeah.
This is the one.
Yeah. It's like that man who came through our line at Kroger that one time. We were talking about that with the person who's about to get engaged or thinking about. proposing, I suppose.
That's like being on the death plank. You're walking out on the death plank.
You said, I'm on the fourth one.
I'm on the fourth one. I'm on the... She's the one. Number four. All right. Well, we're going to do a top ten list here very quickly, because I forgot these the other day. I blew my mind. So I'm sorry, Bob. So we're going to get a top ten list in, a top ten list in here, and then we are going to move into the Family Feud to give away these Jeff Dunham tickets tonight at the Ohio State Fair. So let's cue up that drum roll. Is it there? It is. All right, here we go. This is more of an historical list than anything else. Top 10 true events occurring in August 1923. No jokes intended. Are you ready for this category?
Always.
Top 10 true events occurring in August 1923. No jokes intended. The month that President Harding died. Here we go. Number 10, Henry Sullivan becomes the first American to swim across the English Channel. 27.5 hours. Happened in August 1923. Number 9, a parade of the Ku Klux Klan draws a crowd of 100,000 people in Lima, Ohio. 100,000 people in Lima, Ohio. Number 8, one of the last train robberies in the U.S. occurred near Oklahoma, Oklahoma. 1923, August 1923. Number 7. Baby Rose Marie, actress of Dick Van Dyke Show fame, debuts as a child star on NBC Radio. I had Rose Marie as a guest on this show.
Very.
Does that shock you? She began in 1923. All right. Number 6. At the annual amateur bullfight in Arles, France, 4 people were killed and 25 injured when an angry bull leaped over a barrier and charged at young men wishing to demonstrate their skill. Scary event. Number 5. Argentine swimmer Enrique Tabachi swims the English Channel in a record 16.5 hours. August of 1923. Things that happened in August of 1923. The first British track and field championships for women were held at the OXO Sports Grounds in London. Female athletes competed in 11 events.
I just want to know why they decided they needed to swim across the English Channel.
Well, you know, you want to break the record,
I guess.
Number 3, German electrical engineer Charles Protus Stuysmans said that by 2023, electricity would be doing all the hard work and people would not have to toil for more than 4 hours a day. Stuysmans also envisioned cities free of pollution and litter. Well, he was way off, that poor German. That didn't happen. Things that happened in August of 1923. Number 2. The U.S. Navy airship USS Shenandoah, the first rigid airship to use helium for its buoyancy rather than the less expensive but flammable hydrogen, lifted off its maiden voyage at the Naval Air Station at Lakehurst, New Jersey. 2 years later, it crashed in Ohio. Sad event. And the number one thing occurring in August 1923, no jokes intended, Warren G. Harding dies in office. Calvin Coolidge is sworn in the next day, and again, 18 days later. There you go. Top 10 list. That was very historical.
Thank you, Bob. I want to know why they... I want to know how the one man beat it by like 11 hours, though.
That was some feat, wasn't it?
I mean, you beat a record by 11 hours. You definitely beat it.
He did very good. All right. Top, we got Jeff Dunham tickets, and we've got tickets to Lindsey Stirling at the Ohio State Fair on Saturday. We've got Dublin Irish Festival tickets. What's the category, Matt?
The category is name something you'd find at a breakfast buffet.
Oh. I bet you have all kinds of answers for this, don't you, Sean?
I sure do.
Name something you'd find at a breakfast buffet. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Something you'd find at a breakfast buffet. Now, what?
Can I say something?
Go ahead.
On a cruise, if you ever go on a cruise, they have the best breakfast buffet ever. I mean, it's
you like a good buffet.
I do. Yeah.
So the category is here, things that you would find on a breakfast buffet. Jeff Dunham tickets here today could be decided, as well as tickets to Lindsey Stirling and the Dublin Irish Festival. Jeff Dunham is tonight at the Ohio State Fair. Let's see what time he performs tonight at the Ohio State Fair.
Probably 7.
I don't know, 7 or 7:30. 7:30 tonight at the Ohio State Fair. Jeff Dunham, 740-383-9944. Things you would find on a breakfast buffet. Now, has any of our audience ever eaten at a breakfast buffet? 740-383-9944. Things on a breakfast buffet. That is the question. Okay. Or if you have any questions regarding anything else, you can lay those in as well. That was a lull. We had a lull there for a second. Do you enjoy the buffets, Matt?
Not most of the time. I think when you have buffets, it's usually low quality food, which is why they let you pay one time for it, and then they just let you eat it.
Low quality food?
I think so.
Like what? Now, what do you mean low quality food?
I mean, I guess like when Ryan's was in town, I was never a big fan of Ryan's. Same thing with like when Ponderosa came to town, they weren't here very long, but like we went to Ponderosa somewhere else and we didn't even end up eating. I don't even know why, I don't remember. But I'm just not, usually I feel like the food could just be better if you just went somewhere that served food that you had to pay
one
like,
meal.
Yes.
One serving.
When you pay for one serving, I think you get better quality that way.
Well, it could be. But the category today is things on a breakfast buffet.
True.
Right. Now, remember, you can play along even if you don't want the Jeff Dunham tickets or the tickets to Lindsey Stirling or the Dublin Irish Festival. You can still play along with us here, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. The question is, things on a breakfast buffet. Now, how many correct answers are there?
Eight.
Oh, eight. So we've got a lot of answers here that people could come up with.
We sure do.
Things? Apparently nobody knows what's on a breakfast buffet here tomorrow. Well, I'm sure you do, but there's no doubt in my mind, but things on a breakfast buffet is the question here. 740-383-9944. Now, do you find they have low-quality food?
I see what Matt is saying. Sometimes all-you-can-eat food buffets, and even on a cruise ship, it's not the same as regular quality. It tastes a little different, too.
Don't a lot of people on cruises get sick on the food?
I didn't.
You see a lot of, you've got a cast iron stomach. I don't think you could probably go eat a piece of tire out there and not have any trouble.
Oh, my gosh. A piece of tire. Oh, my gosh.
Just pick up a piece of tire and
start chewing on it.
Just start chewing on it. I think you'd be fine.
Yeah.
I don't know. People are relaxed this morning. Maybe they don't want to go see Jeff Dunham or Lindsey Stirling or go to the Dublin Irish Festival. Or maybe they're not big into buffets.
I don't understand why we don't bring somebody else in, like Terry Fader. I mean, Jeff Dunham's at the fair all the time. Needs somebody different.
Well, people must want to go.
Oh, people love Jeff Dunham.
I like Terry Fader better, though.
I've never heard of him.
You never heard it? Look him up.
I've heard of
Terry Fader.
Jeff Dunham.
He won the America's Got Talent 1 year.
You know, I'm not sure about those talent shows.
Really?
Yeah. I just, you know, are they really about talent, or are they just popularity contest?
I used to watch, or not used to watch, I watched this comedian that he was on America's Got Talent, and he lost to a little girl. I don't remember what her, like, trick was, but she lost, or he lost.
What do you think about American Idol? That became the big
American
one.
American Idol. I only watched American Idol for a little bit. My parents used to watch American Idol, and then went to The Voice, because The Voice became bigger, I guess. But,
can these people really sing?
I think the American Idol.
I mean,
really
a few of the people who have been on, I don't know about American Idol, because that was a while ago, but The Voice is still around. The Voice, I know a few people on The Voice have had careers now in the music industry after The Voice.
I don't understand The Voice when they turn their chairs. Is that what that is? If they turn the chairs, and if they turn the chair, that means they're going to win.
So like if you're on the stage and you're singing and the judges are facing away from you, when they turn their chair, that means they want you on their team.
Oh.
So if not all the judges turn around, say three of the four judges turn around, you have three options of teams to pick from.
I gotcha.
I always told myself that if I ever somehow ended up on there, which I don't think I would, never really enjoyed singing. Nor was I ever really good at it.
And Blake Shelton's leaving the show, I heard.
Yeah, Blake Shelton's been there for a while. He's won so many times, which is why I would have went with Blake Shelton, because he won like three seasons in a row, and I was like, man, I don't know why anybody goes with anybody but Blake Shelton at this point.
See, I don't even understand the concept of the show after you explained it. I mean, I don't think I'd ever be watching
this thing. The singer has to pick a team.
Yeah, the singer has to pick a team.
A team.
Yeah. So basically, so like a voice coach. Basically, your voice and musician coach would be the team that you were on. So if you chose like Team Blake, like Blake would be, I guess, your mentor. He would teach you how to like work melodies, that kind of thing. He'd teach you like better ways to, I guess, maneuver your voice. I don't know what else to call it.
Now, is he really helping these people?
I think so.
See, I don't know if I believe that.
I mean, I'm not 100% sure, because, I mean, I guess that's not there.
Doesn't he have that new wife that he stole from somebody? Isn't he married to Gwen Stefani? Am I wrong about this?
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that.
Didn't he drop his wife to marry? Wasn't this an affair?
They were both.
Imagine that.
They were both on The Voice.
Who?
Gwen Stefani and
it was a workplace. And you wonder how affairs can happen. There you go. Right on your little show, The Voice had happened.
I mean,
she was saying, Blake, show me your chair. That's exactly what happened.
I don't know. Show
me how your chair spins.
I don't know that he, like, ditched his old wife for her, but I know that...
Who was his old wife?
I have no clue, but I'm pretty sure that they've been together. I don't know about married, but they've been at least dating for years now. Like, when they were on The
Voice... But he had a wife!
When they were on The Voice together, I'm pretty sure they were dating.
Did he not have a wife?
I don't know.
I believe... Let's fact-check this. Did Blake Shelton have a wife?
Did Blake Shelton have a wife?
I believe Blake Shelton had a wife. Yeah. I believe that he did. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944.
He's had three.
Oh, three wives.
Well, I guess he's on his third.
Three strikes and you're out.
He's had Kaynette Williams, Miranda Lambert, and Gwen Stefani.
He is married to Gwen Stefani.
He is as
of
2021.
2021.
He has indeed been around the block.
Yeah, but now he was married to Miranda Lambert when he met Gwen Stefani.
I wouldn't doubt it. I mean, I'm not 100% sure.
Well, I'm letting you know, this is what I understand through my people, is that...
Miranda Lambert, their marriage ended in 2015, though.
Well, when did he meet Gwen Stefani?
I'm not sure when he met Gwen Stefani, but they've been married since 2021.
Well, married and met are two different things.
Yeah, I know, but like, there's some time gap.
We just got it from Miranda Lambert. Mary, let us know: was Blake Shelton married to Miranda Lambert when he started fooling around with Gwen Stefani? That's what we need to. It was, wasn't he? Yes, I think that's true, 100%. Now think about that. That's the whole thing that Pastor Craig and I have been trying to explain over the last weeks. It happened right there on the set of The Voice. See? Miranda Lambert obviously wasn't enough anymore.
I guess not.
What's she doing these days? Yep, she... Oh, no, she cheated on him.
Miranda Lambert?
With who? Gosh, what a tangled web we weave.
Man, this is why I don't pay attention to Hollywood relationships. Everybody cheats on everybody, and it just constantly switches around.
Yeah, exactly.
There's no point in Hollywood. Isn't that more Nashville?
I mean, it's all the same concept.
Is it?
Famous people.
Listen, I've been to Nashville, and it's no Hollywood.
I feel like famous people have the same same habits.
I don't think... you know what? I think regular people are more likely to have those type of habits.
I don't know, man.
I don't know about that one either.
Well, I don't really care, because I'm just telling you what I think. This is an opinion that I have. It doesn't really matter what you think. All I'm saying is I think, why would Hollywood or Nashville or New York or Chicago have any impact on your ability to cheat on somebody?
I think it might have to do with the fact that they're all rich and have a lot of money.
What's that mean? What's that going to do with cheating?
But money talks.
Okay. But I bet Miranda Lambert has money. Blake Shelton has money. Gwen Stefani has money. They all have money. They're not getting in these things because of money. So why are they doing it?
Because they can.
And what's it? Why do normal people do it?
But I think it more happens more in Hollywood and in Nashville. I think it happens more than you think.
I mean, I guess I don't know, because there's nobody like publicly posting on who's cheating on who and who's got divorced and switched up relationships and that kind of thing, and like the public. But, like, they do it all the time. when like famous people do all the
time. You know, but I know a lot of local people right here in Marion who have been married and cheated more than any Hollywood person. You know, honestly. We know somebody who's been married. What close
times?
Is it eight now? I thought she was working on nine.
Oh, is it nine?
I think so.
Oh, it's probably nine.
Man. So I mean, let's be serious.
I don't know. I think I would have given up after the first.
One marriage is only 24 hours.
How do you marry somebody for only 24 hours?
Don't ask me. I think you do.
Well, it was very quick. Very quick honeymoon.
Yeah.
I don't know. That is a serial marrier. I think you always go in with she's the one, or in her case, he's the one.
I don't.
She's had a lot of ones.
I feel like if I got married, I don't know. I think if I got married like three times at some point, I'd be like, man, I don't know if this is worth the time anymore.
So this is an interesting question. So how many marriage and divorces are you allowed to go through before we start looking at you like you really don't know what you're doing? We really look at you now and we say, listen, you can find the one all you want, but we don't really trust a darn thing you're saying anymore.
I think you start becoming at least suspicious after the third.
The third. So you're allowed to get married and divorced three times, but after that, we don't really believe you.
I mean, when you get married the third time, I'm already going to be kind of sus and be like, I don't know, man.
So you're not,
the first two didn't work out.
So, but what if the third one ends in divorce?
Oh, then it goes from suspicion to like certainty.
So then you're a joke. You know that old line, it's not you, it's me, it's them, then, right?
Okay. It's definitely them.
How many marriages and divorces can you go through, Sean, without us starting to look at you funny?
Probably two.
Only two? So after two.
Because most marriages are not supposed to, like if you're like a Christian entity, anything like that.
Now why'd you do that in quotes?
No, I'm just saying. In a true Christianity, you're not supposed to really get a divorce at all.
But people do.
I do, but I'm just saying, I say maybe one, two is my
I'll guess. Give people one mess up. I mean, I'll even give you two. I mean, life's long for some people. But I would have to say third, you know. Eight, you're really.
Eight is really.
Yeah, eight, I don't believe a darn thing you say.
Yeah.
During the wedding, I'm already waiting for when the divorce is going to happen.
And you can write that letter again saying, I'll be at the next
one. I'll see you at the next one.
Yeah.
But I don't really, you know, any more than three. What do you make of people who marry the same people twice?
We know
a lot of those people too.
Yeah. I think that an ex is an ex for a reason. It didn't work the first time.
It never does work the second time.
I don't think you should try to make it work a second time. It didn't work the first time. What makes you think it's going to be different?
I think what happens is, my personal opinion, I think Pastor can weigh in this on the next hour, but I think what happens is, I think the love is still there, some sort. There's some connection.
Really?
I think so. That's why they married him again.
Okay, I mean, whatever. I think if you married somebody and then got a divorce, but you guys were still close like that, I don't think getting married again is the answer. I feel like that's just going to cause more. I think if you were like still close with somebody who you got a divorce with, it's the best bet just to be like best friends at that point.
Yes, friends.
Well, we talked about this morning that friends sometimes they.
Oh, yeah, let's do. Well, yeah. We're going to do that story on the exchange, so I'll just remind people. By the way, I do want to wish a happy 35th wedding anniversary to Jeff and Mary this coming Sunday.
Well, happy anniversary.
Happy anniversary.
Well, you said that with such charm. Say it a little better than that.
Happy anniversary.
Yeah, gee whiz. You said that. You said that like pick up the bread. You know, after 35 years, you got to have a little more exuberant. Yeah, I don't know. Is that the first marriage for both of them? I don't know. Mary, let us know. But 35 years, even if that is the second, hey, that's pretty good.
35 okay, by the
years.
Way,
by the way.
A little off topic ahead, here, but I did look up Miranda Lambert, and she's now married to Brendan McLaughlin.
Who's that?
I don't know. We'll see. We'll go to his page.
Brendan McLaughlin?
He's a policeman who is literally just Miranda Lambert's husband. That's his entire...
Did she cheat with him?
I'm not sure. I mean, I know that...
Is that in her Wikipedia?
This one started in 2019. As opposed to 2021.
But the marriage ended in 2015, right? Or something like that?
Yep.
Okay, well, guess not.
So she waited a few years.
Who's Miranda Lambert? She's a country singer, right?
Yeah.
Okay, whatever. So he traded a country singer in for Gwen Stefani, who is not a country singer.
And she traded Blake Shelton in for a policeman.
Well, what does that say? She wanted, you know, she's taking care of him, obviously, is what's going on there. That's probably a love bomb. By the way, we do have a Family Feud question going. If you would like any tickets to Jeff Dunham tonight, or possibly Lindsay, she's a very famous person, Lindsay Sterling, tomorrow at the Ohio State Fair, or tickets to the Dublin Irish Festival, give us a call. Things on a Breakfast Buffet, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Pretty good chance you'll win the tickets if you can answer any of these questions at this particular point.
I can answer all of them, and then I'll go to the...
and then you'll go to the buffet.
Yeah.
Yeah. What was I saying before we got into all that? But the thing we're going to talk about at noon. And I don't know either one of these people, and I did not watch this show, but I thought it was an interesting story. Jessica Chastain and Oscar Isaac were friends when they started making this film, Scenes from a Marriage, which apparently is very popular. But after it was over, Jessica Chastain said they could no longer be friends. Something happened during the making of this film where they had to show extreme love and extreme hate acting that they can no longer be friends now. It's forever damaged.
There's like, it happens a lot in Hollywood too. Like actors who are in like romantic movies together, they actually end up usually falling in love because it's just like.
You think it's interesting we use that adjective for love? Falling. Like we fall out of trees, we fall off buildings, and we fall in love. Some people have fallen so much they've got bruises on every part of their body. Go ahead, finish up your thought. Sorry to interrupt you there.
There's an actual term for it. I don't remember what it is, but like, it's a psychological thing. I'm not 100% sure.
Oh, they're definitely psycho.
Not 100% sure why it happens, but it's a thing that happens a lot with actors too.
But it's not real.
No, it is real.
No, it'll eventually end.
Yeah. It 9 out of 10 times does eventually end.
Yeah.
It's like smelling the roses.
But it's real at the moment.
After they get. Either they date or get married, they're like, man, this ain't it. Not right. And then they stop. It
takes a while, though.
It does.
6 months, a year, sometimes a year and a half, and then you realize, what in the world am I doing?
They fell in love with the acting. They fell in love with the movie character.
Exactly. Didn't we talk about this a few weeks ago, that romantic movies have set the bar too high, and now people feel they can't live up to it?
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, I agree.
Okay, so what do we do about this?
Get Hollywood to stop making movies? I don't know.
Well, maybe they can just have some movies where things end badly.
I don't think people would like that movie.
Like, instead of You've Got Mail, You've Got Alimony. You know, something like that. We'll clean it all up that way. I think that's the way to do it.
They should probably try to do something.
I don't know. I just think that really that these two should make up. If they're just friends, if that indeed really was all it was, which I think that's was all it was, that they should be friends again. I don't understand why this movie ruined their friendship.
I think that so it was it her, or was it him, or was it both of them?
Maybe one of them crossed the line.
I think she is the one who's saying no dice.
I think she fell for the character in the movie, then.
Maybe one of them crossed
the
line.
She's like, I don't want to do that.
Cross what line?
The friendship line.
Well, I don't know they'd be saying that. I think they're just
saying... Maybe we just don't know about. Maybe that's...
Well, but I don't want to read into anything we don't know. I'm just saying she feels that the movie changed how they feel and deal with each other.
I'm going to say, maybe one of them was more into the other.
Do you think you should be able to talk? That's what this all comes to. Talk to somebody who you've had a falling out with.
Yeah, that is fair. I don't understand.
People don't like to talk anymore.
Well,
I don't understand why
skills are gone.
That is fair, for the most part.
What were you gonna say?
But I don't understand.
They're
why...
They're not on this show.
I don't understand why. If you have a problem with somebody that you used to, like I guess used to, or like were friends with in like a short time ago, I don't see why you wouldn't at least try to talk about it. Seems productive, wouldn't you think?
Talk about the problem, or yeah. Talk just in general?
Talk about the problem. I mean, you have to figure it out at some point. Otherwise, it's just going to end up like that, and you're just going to stop, and you're just going to split ways and not talk to each other anymore.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Should it end that way?
I don't think so.
How can you really like somebody and be with them for a long period of time and then just never talk to them again?
Well, something made you really, really, really angry at him.
I don't know if that's it.
I don't know.
I think after a while, you would either, one, forget about it, or two, forgive them. If you were friends with somebody for such a long time, and then they did something to you...
badly.
Why wouldn't you just, like, talk to them about it? Ask them to explain.
Well, I thought the topic we had in hour number one this morning, and we'll do more of this on the Exchange Club today, was kind of fascinating. Do you think people with different IQs can be together? The study says no, because you will not have similar interests.
I think that having similar interests is probably the most prominent thing when you're in a relationship. You want to be able to do things with that person. If you get in a relationship with somebody who is not like you, it'll be interesting because you're learning things about a new person and about their like what they like to do and that kind of stuff. But once you get it all figured out, you come to the realization of there's nothing we can do together.
I ran into one of your old girlfriends the other day.
I think
one that you did not refer to in the best way on this show.
I think that you only know one, so...
Right. But would you talk to that person?
Oh, I mean, I do sometimes.
There you go. What are you talking about?
Not much, really.
About the good old days?
She likes to send me memories.
Of you two?
Yeah.
Oh, that's cute.
she always sends me memories and like, bro, we both changed for the better. And I was like, for real?
She sent you a memory of you two together and said we both changed for the better?
Yes.
That's not very good.
No,
that doesn't sound like a good thing to be doing.
Oh, absolutely not. I would much rather... look, if she can send me memories and be like, look, we are both in better positions now, that makes me happy. Because I know I wasn't stuck where I was with her.
Do you let her know this?
I mean, did I not tell you how I ended things with her?
I don't remember. Maybe, let's reiterate it.
I don't know about that, Scott.
What, was it bad?
It was pretty bad.
Well, can you, like, G-rate it up?
I told her that I didn't like to talk to her, and that was about it,
I guess. But you still do talk to her.
Yeah, but not like too often, and I never initiate conversations.
No.
I don't initiate conversations with anybody, though, really, so.
Sounds to me like she's rubbing it in your face, though. If she sends you a picture of something you two did together and then says, we're both better off now.
I mean, I don't care. If she's doing it out of spite, it doesn't bother me, so she's just wasting her time.
Well, but see, that is undone, I think. If you're trying to spite somebody, that's, you know, there's a reason for that.
If she has some kind of issue with me, I don't know what it is. And I don't think there's a point in having a problem with somebody if you can't tell them what it is. Because then the problem's never going to get solved.
Do you guys have a problem?
I don't think so.
Okay. Would you go out to dinner together?
She invited me to a party this summer.
Oh. What kind of party?
They have, one of her friends has this, they just call it the property. It's got a pond and like a patio, and they just throw like massive parties there. It's just going to be like a summer, like literally just a summer party.
You're not going to go?
It depends on the day. I might.
Oh, now if she's there, what will you do?
I mean, she invited me to the party. I'd assume she'd be there.
But I'm saying, what will you do if she's there?
I don't understand your question. Like, I'd assume she'd be there. Nothing will change.
I understand. I'm saying if you run into her. Let's get a little deeper here.
She'd be the only person I know at the party. I plan on running into her.
Do you understand this question I'm trying to ask here? When you run into her...
Just like out...
Why is this... am I talking like language
here? Just like outside of the party?
No, if you run into... yes, she's going to be there. I get it, okay? So when you both get to the party together, what are you going to talk about?
Oh, no. Like, I'm not going with her. I'm just going to be there.
Did I miss something?
I don't understand your question.
Did I miss something?
Listen, we're missing a lot of things here.
Oh, fill me in here.
You're not the only one missing.
No. She will be at the party.
Yes.
So when you meet face-to-face at the party...
For the first time since we split.
Yes. How will that go?
I mean, fine. I don't know why it would end badly.
You never know.
I mean, she invited me to the party. If she had a problem with me, I don't think she would have invited me or even told me there was a party.
I'm going to do another top 10 list because I'm exhausted after that. Here comes another top 10 list. Okay, there's the drum roll. Now, this was one we were going to do Wednesday for President Harding, so we're still using it. From the home office in Columbus, Ohio, before settling on Duchess as a nickname, the top 10 rejected nicknames for Florence Harding. You understand the category?
I do.
Okay. This could be a thing. before settling on Duchess, because her nickname was the Duchess, as a nickname, the top 10 rejected nicknames for Florence Hardy. Okay. Number 10, Cracker Jack. Okay. Number 9, Flory. I've seen pictures of her. She didn't seem like a Flory to me. Number 8, Star Gal, as in Marion Star, I would guess. Star Gal. Number 7, Mabe the Babe.
Ah, she wasn't no babe.
She wasn't no babe.
Wait a second. You wouldn't date her?
No.
Oh, I bet you would.
No.
Okay. Number 6, D. Cougar. D. Cougar.
What?
D. Cougar. Okay. Number 5, Leadfoot.
She drive fast?
That's what I'm going to say.
Okay. I like, before settling on the Duchess as a nickname, the top 10 rejected nicknames for Florence Harding. Number 4, Flo-hio. That would have worked out good, wouldn't it? Flo-hio. Sure. Number 3, Killjoy.
Oh, she killed her husband.
Will you stop? She did not kill her husband. You and the grandson all there together. All right. Top 10 rejected nicknames for Florence Harding. Number 2, Laddie Girl. About that, that's not bad. Laddie Girl. All right, and here we go. Before settling on Duchess as a nickname, the top 10 rejected nicknames for Florence Harding. Number 1, Nanny.
Was she a nanny?
Well, no, but she could have been the nanny for his child.
Oh, there you go.
There you go. All right. That was good, wasn't it? I thought that was a good list. Thank you, Bob. And we've got another top 10 list coming up at noon today. But that's a very good list, I think. President Harding, apropos.
I want to know how the nickname of Cracker Jack was come up with.
Cracker Jack?
Yes.
You know, I'm not sure where Cracker Jack came from.
Cracker Jack's pretty good popcorn, though.
You get a little toy inside.
You do, yeah.
Yeah, like a little whistle. Or something like that. So you are still on this. President Harding was killed. We just passed the centennial of his death date.
I believe Florence Harding killed her husband for all, you know, she got back with it, you know, revenge, I should say.
For what?
For all the stuff he cheated, and she found out that he had a kid and everything else.
She still wanted to be first lady, though. I don't think she would have killed him during the presidency.
You never know, I guess.
You know, one time, I this was a funny joke. I remember that they were talking, when Hillary was running for president, I think the first time, she was talking about how she was for gun rights, and somebody said if she was really for gun rights, she would have shot her husband a long time ago.
Oh, yeah, that's good.
Well, there was another presidential...
underneath the desk kind of deal, yeah.
Yeah, underneath the desk, that's what I would have said. Underneath the, what's underneath the desk or in the closet, I guess, you know, however you want to use the,
yeah.
The
President Harding was office. The closet, and Bill Clinton was the desk.
Well, at least the furniture gets used. What do you, what do you think, Matt? You were here on
John
the 100th anniversary. Huh?
I don't think he was killed, but it is kind of interesting, because they thought he had food poisoning, because he exhibited, like, all the symptoms of food poisoning, but... Nobody else, and
I mean, his lips were turning blue. His feet were turning blue. He was bedridden.
Personally, I think that
poison doesn't work like that.
Yes, it does.
What do you think? You poisoned him slowly over the course of
poison. Will you die slowly? If it depends on what you give him.
This was 1923.
Well, who knows? Wait, maybe she gave him some antifreeze. I don't know.
Antifreeze.
I don't know what she.
Yeah, she went up to the car and got a thing of antifreeze.
Because antifreeze don't kill you right away.
Listen, he
watched some of those shows.
He was a very ill man.
I think that he almost kind of did it to himself. When we were talking to President Harding, he said that there were a lot of things that he...
By the way, he was here on Wednesday. I should let people know that he was sitting in the studio.
He was, yeah. It was
down
super
from heaven.
Interesting.
Well, he came over from the... Got up out of the Harding Memorial and came over here for a day to celebrate with us.
Yeah. But he said that there were a lot of things that he did that he, in retrospect, could have just... given to, like, secretaries and things like that, so he didn't have to do so much work. But also, he gave a lot of speeches, and he was constantly doing something. He never didn't work. I think he overworked himself, and it caused heart failure.
Caused the ticker. Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, he could very well have food poisoning in 1923. There wasn't much refrigeration around.
Well, yeah, but the thing is that nobody else got food poisoning on that trip.
Well, well, some people are a little bit more successful prone than others.
Yeah, but I think that's what President Harding was saying when he was here on Wednesday, that it probably wasn't that because nobody else got sick.
You know, a lot of professional people or, you know, showbiz people or something like that, you know, a lot of times they don't see each other, you know, like regular people do.
Right, but don't you...
They might be gone for, you know, when Hillary Clinton was Secretary of State, you know, you think her and Bill Clinton went a couple months or a month without seeing each other?
Well, I'm sure they did.
And, you know, a lot of times, you know, they'll have a mutual understanding. You know, you do your thing and they do, you know, their thing.
Right, but I mean, here's what I'm saying. Once you are married and divorced, well, I'll ask you the question that we asked our panel earlier on. How many times can you be married and divorced before we start to look at you and go, you know, we're not really believing what you say anymore?
Well, I think two. I think two. You know, once you start saying, well, I'm in love again, and this is the third time you're going to get married, you know, I think something's wrong.
Yeah, now, can the person still blame it on the other people? Because after the first marriage, you can say, well, the other person cheated on me, the other person was not great. And then you get married again, well, that person wasn't great either. So by the time you get to number three, don't you have to take some self-accountability at some point?
Well, yeah, but see, well, a lot of people, you know, I don't care who you get with. After a while, sex is going to get mundane with them. You know, unless you're Dr. Ruth and you can, you know, do real good about, you know, keeping the spark in your relationship.
You know, so, Dr. Ruth has been on the show.
Yeah.
I talked to her afterward.
And, but they meet somebody and, you know, it's a little bit forgiven. You know, maybe they make out in a, you know, broom calls, you know, of a,
broom
on the floor or something like that. You know, or they do, you know, sometimes a woman won't do something to her man, but she'll do something to somebody else, you know what I'm talking about, you know. But after it wears off, then they meet somebody new and it's special, and they take that feeling as, you know, love. I mean, it's like a, you know, if you date a girl and never have sex with her, you don't quite get as close to her as you do if you have the sex with her. You know what I'm saying?
So, basically, the point here is that you have to have a physical relationship to be close with the person?
No. But if you have a physical relationship, you know, she's going to take it as there's more, especially if you, you know, don't want a relationship with her and you know, have sex with her, you know, it's going to be a lot harder for you to, you know, make excuses and tell her you don't, you know, that was just that one time, blah, blah, blah.
Well, you're talking an affair.
Yeah.
So you're saying that, obviously, if you're in a relationship, you probably are having some kind of physical relationship, and then if you have a physical relationship with somebody else, that's an inappropriate?
A side piece.
Well, anytime you have a physical relationship with somebody, you start caring for them more.
Oh, so...
A guy can care for two or three girls or something at a time, you know. You like something, you know, good about this girl, you like something good about that girl.
Yeah, you but know? Why do you want to trade a toothache for a headache?
Well, it's true, I wouldn't.
There you go. I don't know, we're running out of time, but hey, thanks for calling. All right, phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. What do you got to say about that, Matt?
I mean, interesting points.
That's all you got?
Interesting points.
That's all you got? I wish people could have saw your face during that phone call. All right, Sean, what do you think about that point?
I just think it's the, you know, he was talking more of a side piece, I think.
What, a gun? Was he talking about a gun? Isn't that a side piece?
No, you know, it's just like your having more than one relationship.
I don't want to delve too deep in this, but since we're about to wrap up this hour, does it eventually boil down to the physical? I mean, because honestly, that's what we call an affair, really. And until you do something physical with the other person, we really don't call it an affair. We talked about emotional relationships last week, but really, that's an affair. I don't think you say it's an affair until something physical happens. I'm glad we're not on television. Hand gesture was that?
I see what you're saying now. I think it's still a fair if you're.
Is that how it goes?
I'm saying you start having an affair if you go outside and you're married and you're talking to another woman about...
Even talking to him?
I think if you're talking about certain things, yes.
Oh, like what?
Well, obviously, if you're talking about, having...
This?
If you're talking to another girl about other things that you would talk to your wife about, I think it's a fair too.
Sexting. What if a brother-in-law is talking to his sister-in-law about that?
What if his brother-in-law is talking to his sister-in-law? I think that's considered cheating.
But no physical relationship.
I think it is. You should not go behind your brother's back.
What do you think, Matt? Quick. Pastor, I know you want to get in on this at noon, don't you?
Yeah.
Yeah, this is one heck of a conversation. Go ahead, Matt.
So do you think that, being emotionally attached to another... So if I was, married and being emotionally attached to another woman, that's cheating?
I don't know what you're saying, emotionally attached. I think if there's no physical... No, I don't think it's cheating. Because I talk to a lot of people. I have had lunches with women...
But you have to draw the line. The draw the line is certain conversation that you're having with that girl.
But what's the conversation?
If their girl's married or you're married.
Okay, but what's the conversation you can't have?
Well, certain words and certain things that you will talk to your wife or your girlfriend or your wife about.
What if you don't have any interest in that girl?
Which one?
The one you don't... None of them! I'm saying you don't have a relationship to any of them!
Well, you wouldn't be talking to if you didn't have any interest in it.
That's not true. That is not true at all. You can have female friends that you don't think of in that way.
No, but you said you didn't have no interest at all with them.
Right. But you can have lunch and dinner with them. I have two very good female friends who I have absolutely no interest in.
I know them.
People know who they are, but I've never had any interest. They have no interest in me, but we can have lunch.
If that other person crosses the line...
Nobody's crossing any line.
If that person's married, then that's a problem.
I don't think that's true at all.
Yes,
They've both been married at times. And you know what? You can have a... What does it matter? If I go out and have lunch with Matt, why is that any difference if I would go out and have lunch with Emily? It's no different. We're friends. There's no interest in... It's nothing.
No, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying, but I said you have certain words that you cannot use. If you something that you want to talk to your girlfriend about, like words, what you talk with your girlfriend about, you cannot talk to your friends about, because that's crossing the line.
Well, we got to take a break here because Pastor Craig's show's coming, but I'm not really sure what those words are, and maybe we'll find out at noon. Stay tuned and stick with us here. See, boy, oh boy, WGH Talk. My goodness, do we talk.
I'm looking for an exciting way to interact with animals up close. Come to the African Safari Wildlife Park for your chance to meet over 400 exotic animals face-to-face. No other park comes this close. Not only will you be able to get up close and personal with the animals,